From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, your local sports leader. January 17th, the year of our Lord, 2026. Thank you guys for tuning in. Really appreciate it. If you are a first-time listener, a casual listener, or somebody that likes to tune in every week, man, hey, happy you're listening. This is a show about sports in the Central Section, the Central Valley here in California. 2 hours of interviews, and you know it is called a Central Valley Sports Report, so I better report on some stuff. So lots of good stuff that I'm going to get to. I was able to check out 3 basketball games this week. Checked out 3 last week as well. So I'll go over all that stuff. But I love doing interviews. I got a great show lineup for you guys out there tonight, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you're listening. Huge show lineup. Very excited to share who's coming on the show. But I got to thank First String Sports. This is where I do my show every Saturday on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. My show is done from the right-hand side where all the Letterman's jackets sit. There's a pretty cool neon sign that stands right above it, so you can't miss it. This is the only place you can get your Letterman's jacket. I see it every morning. They're getting configured. They're getting the patches put on. They got hats of all the schools in the Central Section. You got Bullard. You see Clovis West, Clovis North. They got these really cool chairs that I don't talk about a lot. Right when you walk in, right in front of you. I see Hoover chairs, Justin Garza, anything that you need. Kingsburg's up there. So thanks to First String Sports. You do a fantastic job of supporting our wonderful student athletes here in the Central Valley. You could listen to the show back on YouTube. It's being recorded live on YouTube, 1430 ESPN Fresno. Pretty cool. All the audio is piped in so you could hear all the call-ins. We don't have any call-ins today. Everybody's coming here live to First String Sports. So go back and listen. Also, 1430ESPNFresno.com is a good place to go back and listen to any of our shows here on 1430 ESPN. All right, so guys, I don't have to tell you, man, but what's up with this fog, right? You know, I'm a teacher. I had a couple foggy day schedules this week, but this fog will not go away. It's dangerous. Don't drive crazy out there, man. I'm not worried about my driving skills. I got good driving skills, but I'm worried about everybody else. Just be careful out there. Have some distance, right? Put your lights on. Driving here is like a little bit less than half the cars didn't even have their lights on driving in this fog. So be safe out there. Be safe. All right, so big football weekend, obviously, with the NFL. This show is going to end, and it's going to lead right into that great game that I'm sure most of everybody's going to be watching. Josh Allen's headed to Denver, so his Bills are taking on the Denver Broncos. Go Josh, man. You got to win 3 away games to get to the Super Bowl. But, man, that team goes as Josh goes. I know it's a good running game, but and worry about that defense. But I like the Bills' chances today. I really do. It's a great weekend. Last weekend was phenomenal for football. Had great games. I want to bring up something that I totally forgot that we have another local guy that's doing great things in the NFL. You guys remember the name Cole Popovich? Played at Yosemite High School, a 4-year starter on the offensive line for Fresno State. Well, he actually won a couple Super Bowls with the New England Patriots, but this year he is the offensive line coach and the run game coordinator for the Houston Texans. I remember that dude, man. That guy was an absolute beast. I think he squatted like 600 pounds as a freshman at Fresno State. So there was a little exchange at the end of the Steelers game, too. I don't know if you guys caught that with Cole and it's a couple Steelers players. So that was really cool. So lots of football, but lots of basketball as well. And this show is going to be focused on basketball this morning. We got Coach John Pemberthy coming on at the top of hour number 2. His Fresno Christian Eagles are doing a phenomenal job this year again. They are 16-1. They're taking on Edison at 5 o'clock today at Edison. So we'll talk about that game. But you remember what they did last year. Their best team in school history. Went to the D4 state championship game. Fortunately, lost that one, but they did win the Central Section Championship. So excited to talk to John. I was able to talk to him last year, so we're bringing him back. He's got great stories. You know all about the Penberthy boys, how popular they are around here, and their ties to Hoover High School. So I'm sure we're going to hear a few stories about those days. At 11:35, we have Buller coach Tim Admonson and senior guard Javance Coleman coming on. We're going to talk about the night season. They're sitting at 14-8 right now. I was able to check out their game against Sanger. It was a 60-49 win. Javance had a great game, scored 29 points. And that name sounds familiar to a lot of people listening right now. His dad was Javance Coleman Sr., star guard at Washington Union, Fresno State. And Javance is a really good player in his own right as well. So excited to talk to them. I didn't mention this show is going to be mostly about basketball. We do have some football. High school football they're going to talk about after this break here, coming up in about 8 minutes or so. Kyle Biggs is coming on the show, Central East head football coach, state championship this year, won in 2019 as well, a state championship, five-time Central Section champion. Well, his father, Bill, a respected coach in the Central Valley, passed away in early January. And he was a huge inspiration in Kyle's life. Coached with Kyle, coached with those great Clovis High teams with Coach Simons, his assistant there. They were the Hallmark Varsity Assistant Coaching Staff. That's what they called themselves when they won 7 Valley titles, 13 league championships. So I know how vital the Biggs family is, how they've left their mark in the Central Valley with football. So I invited Kyle to come on, and he said, heck yeah, I'm coming on. I want to talk about my father. So we're gonna hear about those days and what it was like for Kyle growing up, you know, watching his father with that coaching staff. And there's some great stories, some phenomenal stories. I've heard some. I've read them online. You know, when Bill passed away, there's a lot of tributes out there, and the impact that he made was large. And people are sharing stories. So we'll hear straight from Kyle. I'm excited to hear those stories, man. You know, that was a pretty special time when his dad was a coach at that Clovis High coaching staff. So, yeah, it's going to be a good time. I don't talk a lot about wrestling on the show. But Buchanan has launched themselves to the number one spot in the nation. Yes, sir. Buchanan Bears are the number one wrestling program in the nation currently. The Doc B tournament, which many say is the best tournament in the nation, was held last week at Clovis High. And if you didn't check out any videos, I know our local news station did a great job showing highlights from that event. But there's tons of good stuff on social media as well. What an incredible event. Probably only rivaled by the Buchanan and Clovis duel that's coming up soon. But Buchanan took the team title. They were ranked number 3. The number one team at the time, Faith Christian, flew in from Pennsylvania to come wrestle in this event. So hats off to them for flying over here, getting it done, putting that number one ranking on the line. But Buchanan beat them point total wise, 238.5 to 189.5. So, you know, in my limited knowledge about wrestling and scores and how all that stuff works, it sounds like a pretty good butt kicking right there. So Buchanan, number one. And if the two young men from Buchanan who won their weight class, incredible matches, especially Rockland Zinkin at 120 pounds, just phenomenal. I implore you guys to go back, just Google it, the Rockland Zinkin Doc B match. It was absolutely electric. He was able to get some points late. I think there was like maybe a minute left or something. He did his backflip when he won. It was crazy. His family was going nuts. So that's Rockland's. He's a senior this year. It's his second Doc B championship. He won one his freshman year and didn't win the last couple years. So, Buchanan is well on their way to winning another state championship, have some individual winners as well. Ashton Besmer won as well at 132 for Buchanan. And Clovis High has this stud freshman wrestler, Michael Burnaby. He beat another Buchanan freshman, Dale Silva. So how about this, man? How many times are those two young men going to be battling over the next 4 years? So Clovis has a dude as well. So, yeah, I've made efforts to get Buchanan wrestling on the show, and I think we had one. I think Troy Terrapelli came on one time, but I got to get him on, man. This is shaping up to be a really special year for them. So I mentioned the three basketball games that I was able to go to this week, so Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. So Phil Benatti and I broadcasted the Justin Garza and Hoover game at Justin Garza. And by the way, that obviously Justin Garza, a new school, but that gym is nice. Not too big, not too small. The lighting is great. Pretty tight game at halftime, but a great fourth quarter for Hoover. They outscored Justin Garza 29-9. Obviously a terrible fourth quarter for Justin Garza. Michael Harris had a career day for the Patriots on his birthday. 25 points, 9 rebounds, had this monster alley-oop dunk. So good stuff by Hoover. Tizelle Archie is doing a great job there as always. Thursday night, I mentioned the Bullard and Sanger game. We're going to hear from Coach Abnison and Javance Coleman at around 11:35. Javance scored 29 points, made a crucial play. It was actually a two-point game with minute 15 left. And drove, took it to the hoop really strong, got himself an and one, and the rest is history. So, yeah, Bullard, 14-8 on the season. And then last night, checked out Clovis West at a home game against Buchanan. Doubleheader, girls played at 5:30. Clovis West girls won that one. And then the boys follow. Again, started a little bit later. Actually, the girls' score is 61-52. They play today. There's a lot of games in the Martin Luther King showcases. Buchanan boys, man, they are good. They got a couple transfers in. Everybody's eligible. But that defense is tight. Tight defense. Coach Orlich knows what he's doing, obviously. There's no doubt about that. But everything was difficult for Clovis West. Every shot was contested. Fundamentally, you know, they help out well, they show well, and they get back and rotate well. So, yeah, San Joaquin Memorial, I've seen them 3 times this year. It's the second time I've seen Buchanan. I'd say they're pretty even. I think that'd be a heck of a game if those teams happen to meet. I got a couple high scores here. Reed Sweeney scored 20 points. Josiah Perry had 16 for Buchanan. Jace Kellogg had 19, a tough 19 for Clovis West. Like I said, Buchanan was just draped all over him. So good job by Jace by getting those 19. So lots of games happening today. San Joaquin Memorial is traveling to play St. Joseph and boys basketball. Again, it's going to be at 5 o'clock. I'm not sure if it's being streamed anywhere. It's definitely a game I want to check out. It's a good test to see exactly where San Joaquin Memorial is. Remember, they had that loss to Bakersfield Christian, like a 14-point loss at the Damien Classic. Very curious to see how the game is going to roll out. On Monday, Memorial is going to play, man, it doesn't get any easier, Archbishop Reardon, and St. Joe's is going to play De La Salle. So some really good games. Let's take a break here. Coach Kyle Biggs is here. Live at First String Sports. I want to give him as much time as possible. We're going to hear a little bit about his state championship team. We've got to mention that, of course, and talk about his father, Bill, who was an integral part of coaching here. Just one of those great legendary coaching staffs he was a part of. So can't wait to hear those stories. Can't wait for you guys to hear those stories. You're listening to it all on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN, live here at First String Sports. And Kyle Biggs is kind enough to brave the fog and drive over here to First String Sports. He's a 5-time Central Section football champ, 2-time state champ, including this year's team. His father, Bill, passed away in early January. He was a part of that legendary Clovis High football staff. He's an O-line guru as well. So, Kyle, how you doing this morning?
Good. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Absolutely. All right. So, your father, special guy. When I heard that he passed away, I'm sure you got a lot of texts from people, and I saw a lot of online tributes to him and stories. Very impactful man that he made in the lives of young people and teachers and with his fellow coaching staff as well. Just what was like your impact, you know, that he had on the Valley? Just kind of an overall picture of his coaching and people reaching out to you after his passing as well, and some of those great stories.
You know, just all the support on social media and all the nice things, it was overwhelming. And it just reiterated that what I saw at home and what I knew is what everyone else saw and what everyone else knew. So it was cool to read some of those stories and just hear how much of an impact he had on so many people.
Were there some stories that, like, you had forgotten or didn't even know that people were reminding you about?
Yeah, it's just everyone had their own story. You know, it's not just where he just, you know, was a football coach. You know, he was a teacher. He was a health teacher. So he taught freshmen, you know, for 40 years. And, you know, he loved it. And he taught every kid as they were the same. He taught every offensive lineman as if they were the same. Didn't matter how good they were. Didn't matter how smart they were. It was just everyone had an equal opportunity to be blessed by him.
And I try to read as many stories as possible. And there was one about a young lady that was in his class and just kind of developed a bond. And, you know, she'd be like the biggest Clovis High football fan out there. And I think that was kind of his impact. Like, it didn't matter whether he was coaching a player. I mean, his availability on campus was evident as well. People come and say, man, you poured into my life as an academic, right? In the academics as well. So some of those stories popped up, and I'm sure that just kind of warmed your heart, but made you a little bit sad as well. Is that kind of your feeling?
Yeah, definitely. And you know, he would open his classroom up at lunch, and it was just for anybody to come in there. And he had athletes in there. He had non-athletes in there. He had, you know, freshmen who didn't have any friends, who just wanted somewhere to be. And he opened his room up, and it was kind of just a hodgepodge of, you know, everybody. And he treated them all the same. Everyone loved going in there. And, I mean, it was just that's what I remember when I was going through high school. And then he'd always share stories. So, you know, I'm a freshman or I'm a senior, and these freshmen are coming up to me laughing at me because he told some story to the freshman class in his health class about what I did when I was a little kid. And I was like, Dad, come on, man. And he's like, you shouldn't have done it. You know, like, it's that story. I say it every year. And it's just that's what you're going to get with my dad. He was a great storyteller. He was a great teacher. He was all around great guy.
And freshmen are goofy kids, man. You know that too.
Oh, yeah.
Freshmen are goofy. I want to talk about that coaching staff at Clovis High. Just kind of, maybe from what you know, just take me back to the beginning, how he got into the coaching staff at Clovis, the Hallmark assistant coaching staff with Coach Simons and all those great guys that I'm going to mention here in just a second as well. But just kind of what was the genesis of his coaching career there?
You know, he started at Clovis West when the school opened with Max Newberry and Tom Deal and James Moxley and Mas Aoki and Bill Crawford. And, you know, those guys were together for those first 10 years. They played in 3 Valley Championships. They won 2 Valley Championships. And my dad also was a softball coach, and he won a Valley Championship in softball with Coach Deal at the first softball championship in Clovis West history. So they had a really tight staff. And then someone decided to fire Max Newberry because after every odd year, he either went to a Valley Championship or won a Valley Championship. And in 89, he didn't do that. So they got rid of him. And so my dad and the other coaches were kind of like, well, what do we do now? Who are they bringing in? And Coach Simons called my dad up, and he's like, hey, I need an O-line coach. And at first, my dad's a very loyal man. So, you know, jumping from Clovis West to Clovis High, like in the 80s, you didn't do that. Like, it was unheard of.
Yeah.
And I remember I was at a Babe Ruth baseball game, and I saw my dad walk up, and he had blue and gold on. And I'm like, that, it just looks so wrong on him. But he made the move in 1990 to go to Clovis High with Coach Simons. I was appreciative of that because if he would have stayed at Clovis West, I would have went to Clovis West and been a wing T quarterback, and that would have not been fun. So by him going to Clovis High, and I got to be the ball boy, and I got to be around practices and meet those coaches. And, you know, there were four or five coaches who had kids. We were about the same age, and we'd all go to practice in the summer. And you knew they were a really good staff. You know, he'd be gone all day on Saturday, and then on Sunday he's gone the whole day. And this is back before huddle, so they had, you know, VHS tapes to break down film. And
with the waves.
Yeah, they had to copy the VHS tapes, and then, you know, who has the tape, where is it at? They had to keep track of it all. So breaking down film was a lot harder back then than it is for us. Today we're a little spoiled. But it was always fun to break down the film with him also, and I was his eyes, so I could pick out jersey numbers, and I didn't realize how many times you'd actually have to watch a play to, you know, learn something about it, because I'd always ask, why do you keep rewinding it? Like, can we move on to the next play? And he's like, nope, I got to see what all 11 guys are doing. So it taught me at an early age, you know, how to watch film, and those were some good Saturday nights that I got to spend with my dad, and him just teaching me how to watch film and how to break down film. And that's the thing that those Clovis High staffs did, is every detail was covered. They were such good coaches. You know, they were together for, I think, 9 years before Simons retired. And my dad was the last guy there. Freeman, Sexton, Kellum, Wetzel, Erdman, those guys were all there in the 80s. So they were there, you know, another 15, 20 years. So they just, as a head coach now looking back, it's like that's what you want your staff to be. You want to try to keep that camaraderie. And so there's stuff, you know, I learned from those guys even as a little sixth grader just running around and observing as a little kid.
Staffs like that don't come around very often, right? You probably count on, you know, on the palm of your hand how many staffs have stayed together for even 5 years and so. So what did you learn, again, observing those guys? And you probably called them uncle, I don't know, something like that, right? And just the camaraderie and them, you know, watching you grow up as well, but being involved in their lives. Like, what was that like? It probably won't happen again.
Yeah, you know, it was awesome because the other thing, those guys were all teachers on campus. So not only did you have, you know, nine solid coaches, you had nine solid teachers on campus who were making an impact on those kids' lives and seeing those kids every day. Nowadays, you don't have, you know, you don't have nine on-campus coaches. I don't know of anyone who does that, because guys just aren't in the education business. But learning from those guys, it was always fun because I got to get on chalkboard sessions with Coach Sexton in seventh grade. And I'm learning about cover three and seam routes and all this cool stuff. So it really, I loved it because I was drawing up plays in second grade, you know, wishbone quarterback sweeps. And I'd always show it to my dad, and he'd always be like, can't block it. Like, this is the first thing I learned is if you can't block it, you can't run it. So I would draw up plays and just being around those guys and watching how they work and how they gel together. And, you know, you don't see the time they put in not on the field. And that's, you know, back then those players, I don't even think realized how much time they put in. And they covered every detail, and they wanted to make sure all the T's were crossed and I's were dotted, and, you know, they weren't going to be tricked or fooled on anything they saw. So it was really just the attention to detail that they put into the craft is what really stuck with me all these years.
All right, so what's this about Thursday brownies and grizzly juice?
Well, the grizzly juice started, so my junior year, my dad had surgery and he had to have juice. So he always had a thermos of juice. And as a spoiled little brat, I was like, I don't want water, I want that juice. So, Dad, can I get some juice? He'd be like, whatever. So then the linemen see me drinking the juice, and all my buddies are like, can we get some juice? And he doesn't say no to anybody. So we'd all drink his juice, and he wouldn't even get very much during practice. So then he figured out, you know, we'd always try to guess what the juice was, that we'd drink it and we'd try to guess it. And then it was always the day you would drink it and spit it out, and you're like, oh. And then once you see your buddy spit it out, you're like, oh, I don't want that. And he learned that when he did grapefruit juice, none of us wanted it.
That's right.
So he started doing grapefruit juice a lot to keep us away. And then when we got to Central as the head coach, he started bringing those orange igloo bottles, the big ones, and he had it full of juice. And everyone's trying to guess what the juice is, and they're like, man, your dad, he must be in there shaking up potions and making this all his own. I'm like, guys, he's not doing that. That's not him. And they're like, no, he is. And I'm like, no, he just buys it at the store and mixes it together. And they're like, Coach Pix would never do that. But that's all he did, and it was amazing. Everyone loved it. They loved guessing it. And then the brownies started. He retired, and he wasn't teaching anymore. And so on Thursdays, he just started bringing brownies to practice, to the short practice. And they were delicious. Kids loved them. He would take requests. We had to make a rule that he had to bring the brownies as close to the practice field as possible, because kids were sprinting out after practice to go get their brownies, you know, running through parking lots or on cement with their cleats, like not smart, not a smart move.
Safety hazard.
Yeah. So that was the one rule. You had to back the truck in and bring them close to the lot so everyone can get their brownie. And they're amazing. He has a secret. I'm not going to divulge his secret. But my mom would attest, like when he retired, she's like, we spend more money on cookie or brownie mix than on anything else. So it's something he took a lot of pride in, and the kids absolutely adored it and loved it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Those are the things, Kyle, that everybody remembers.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? You remember wins and losses and stuff, but those little things, the bus rides, the way that, you know, the quirky things that a coach might do, but, you know, brownies and grizzly juice. Those are things.
Yeah.
Those are things. 97, your senior year, dad's on staff. You guys have that phenomenal run through all the way through playing Bakersfield for the Valley Championship. Does the fog out there remind you of that game?
Oh, yeah.
It's a fog game, right?
It was different because in that fog game, the fog, like, it was normal. It was a normal day. There was no fog. And then about kickoff, you see it start rolling in. Like, I thought they fired a cannon, and it was the smoke from the cannon because it just came out of nowhere. And, it was crazy.
You guys were the 6th seed, right?
7th seed.
7th seed. And Bakersfield was?
They were the 2 seed.
They were the 2 seed.
No, because we beat the 2 seed. They were the 4 seed.
Okay. Your dad was on that staff, right? Did he have any advice before the game, or what did he say during or even after the game that sticks with you?
My dad never talked to me about, you know, X's and O's and reads. And back at camp in the summer, I threw a quick out. The kid ran a hitch. And my dad's like, put it on him. He's wide open. And my offensive coordinator, Coach Sexton's like, well, if he would have ran the right route, it would have hit him in the chest. And my dad goes, all right, I'm going to shut up. I'm going to coach my guys up front. So he never talked to me. And then there's a great story. We got to go to Clovis, New Mexico my senior year.
Yeah.
And it was a really cool trip. My junior year, they came out to us, and they beat us. 24-0. We got beat. So we knew going in it was going to be a good game. We had just lost to Bakersfield at the Pigskin Classic at Bulldog Stadium. And right before half, I think I'm an athlete, so I think I can jump over a pile and extend the ball for a touchdown. And the ball got spiked out of my hands, and I fumbled on the 1 yard line, and they recovered. So going into halftime, I got yelled at by every single defensive coach. Every Coach Kellum, Coach Erdman, Coach Wetzel, every single one of them just laid into me. And my dad just said, probably shouldn't have done that. And I was like, yeah. But then we go in the game, and it's in the fourth quarter. There's 7 seconds left. It's 4th and 10 on the 29. I call timeout. And my dad, usually back then, you know, the huddle stayed on the field and the quarterback walked to the sideline. Well, my dad asked Coach Simons if he could go out on the field. So I'm going back to the sidelines. My dad's coming onto the field, and we just stare at each other. We just make eye contact. And not one word is said. We just stare at each other. I tell Coach Simons what play I want to run. Coach Simons doesn't want to run that play, and I'm just like, Coach, the safety's cheating over. I got Cody Nolan one-on-one. Like, we got to take that. And, like, I go, Coach, that's what I'm going to call. And I looked up to Coach Simons like a father figure, and I walked away from him, and I heard him go, Kyle, in his only way Coach Simons can. And I turned around very slowly, not knowing what was on the other end of or on the other side of me, and he just said, make it work. So then we go, and we throw a touchdown, and we go for two, and we get it. And then I find out my dad gives the greatest speech in the world in the huddle. Nobody can remember it. the linemen are like, it was awesome. I don't remember what he said. I'm like, Dad, what'd you say? He's like, I don't know. I don't remember what I said either. So he gave an astounding speech in the huddle that nobody can recall. But it was just that's what it was like playing with my dad. It was just, you know, the first guy I'd see after a game, after the championship when we won it, just going to him and being able to hug your dad, because the year before we lost it. So now we got to go and finish the right way, and it was just a really cool moment.
So you get into coaching, right? Obviously, you're drawing up plays. You know, when you're in elementary school, you've been around football your whole life, had an excellent high school football career. Coaching's probably been instilled from you from the beginning, right? Like you're the son of a coach, right? Yeah. So naturally, you're going to become a coach as well. So when you got your first program at Fowler,
yes,
brought your dad along.
100%.
How easy was that of a decision? Did your dad give you advice like, son, take this and hey, we'll coach together? What did that look like?
The best advice my dad gave me was when I first started coaching. It was at Clovis High. I was a freshman offensive coordinator for Coach Wetzel. You know, really didn't know, thought I knew everything. And my dad told me, like, I need to go somewhere else. He goes, you need to make a name for yourself, not just be my So you need to make your own name. So the hardest thing was to leave Clovis High and leave, you know, what I had known my whole life. So I go to Buchanan, and I'm a receiver coach and just kind of working my way up and trying to figure things out. And I was at Bullard. I went for the Buchanan job when Jaycott got it. My dad was on my staff. I gave a list of my staff, and they were like, yeah, that's a good staff. We're going to hire this guy. Can you bring that staff with you for this? And I was like, no, that's not happening. So then the next year I got the Fowler job, and you know, before I even applied, I was like, Dad, you're in, right? And he said, yes. And I think bringing him along actually got me the job, because Mr. Cedarquist out at Fowler loves my dad. And that was the first question in my interview, or when I saw him, was, am I bringing my dad? And I said, 100% I am. And it was great to see him, because, you know, I've only seen him coach Division I football, you know, the big boys. And he went down there and he had that offensive line, you know, like a well-oiled machine. We had a 2,000-yard passer. We had 2,000-yard rushers. It didn't matter to the kid. He was that good of a coach that he was going to make guys be able to understand leverage and how to block and move your feet, and just doing little things right can have success.
Talk to me about those O-line splits. Did he come up with that? Is that something that just was his own thing? Did you see that somewhere?
Well, we went down to Centennial Corona and met with Matt Logan, because they were having a ton of success in the spread, and we wanted to know what they were doing, because we felt we were a lot like them. A ton of athletes don't really have, you know, the big linemen, right? So what did they do? How did they do this? And so going down there, we just both, like, it was like mind-blowing. And we both fell in love with it. We're like, this is perfect. This is exactly what we need. This is to set us apart. You know, because everyone runs a spread. And now defenses, they only get to see our splits once a year. So now it's like you have to prepare for it. Mm-hmm. So it's something more to the list, not only the plays and the tempo and all that stuff, but you gotta adjust to how you're going to play these splits. And we've seen it all in 10 years. So we know every adjustment to make. And even when we started putting it in, it was just my dad. You know, when he's an old timer, he's an old retired guy, and then he gets something new and it just got the blood flowing. And I mean, at his house, he had a whiteboard next to his chair. So at any moment he thought of pass protections or he's drawn it up. You know, he has little pamphlets, little papers everywhere, just that was all in his vicinity that he didn't have to leave his area. And he would just be drawing up plays and drawing up defenses to make sure he's on top of his game.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I could just see, Kyle, that, you know, other people watching film, they're going to play you guys like, oh, look at these splits. Of course we can come through this gap. We can go through this. And then all of a sudden it's like, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. When did you realize, Kyle, that your dad was a part of something special or a really good coach or really made an impact? Was there a moment in, you know, growing up, elementary, junior high, whatever, like, hey, my dad actually is pretty darn good at this? Or did you just accept it as is?
You know, it was when I was a kid and I'd go to practice and I'd watch practice, and you know, I'd always be like, Dad, who's that wide receiver? Who's that guy throwing the ball? And he's like, I don't know. Does he play O-line? No, I don't know who he is. He's number 3. You know, and I'm like, Dad, that's Keith Poole. Like, that's the greatest receiver ever. And he's like, it's number three, man. Like, I'll learn his name later. And he coached his guys. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really stood out for me and my sister really was every Christmas break when we would go Christmas shopping or he'd go to the supermarket, whatever, when we were with him, he would run into somebody. And, I mean, it would take us 30 minutes to get inside from the parking lot because he would just run into a former player, a former student. And, you know, we're like, come on, Dad, let's go. And he's sitting there talking to him for, you know, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, remembers everything about him. And then the funny thing is, Dad, who was that? I don't remember. But he talked to him for 30 minutes. He just couldn't remember their
name. Remembers faces, but not names.
And now I find myself doing that. Yeah. So my daughter makes fun of me all the time. Like, who's that? And I'm like, I don't know. But that's when I knew, like, the impact he had to see those people go out of their way to stop him and talk to him. And just the genuine care that in the conversation that, you know, you could tell there was some mutual respect and admiration in there.
What ways, Kyle, did your father impact you, not only on the football field, which is obviously legendary, and you guys have reaped all the benefits of that, but also as a man and as a father?
Just being there. Being early. We're early to everything. I got my daughter hooked on being early to everything. I'm trying to get my wife there. She's doing a lot better. When she's early, she'll let me know, and I'm so proud of her when she gets to a practice early. Just because that my dad, I mean, I was there an hour early, 30 minutes early. We were early to, we were never late. And that's one thing, you know, you don't waste people's time. You don't. You just, you know, you say you're going to do something, you're going to do it, and you're going to be there, and you're going to be giving your all. Those are the everyday details, you know, that, you know, every kid learns from their dad. Just, it was just magnified because I got to be around him so much with football, you know, be on the bus with him. And, you know, I wouldn't change those memories for anything in the world. Those are some of my best memories as a kid growing up. You know, my wife will ask me if I watched a cartoon or what a cartoon character. I don't know, but in 1987, Clovis West ran a crossing route on 3rd and 10. They got him a first down to help him go win the game, and it was made me want to be a quarter. Like, those are the things I remember. It's not the, you know, cartoon stuff.
Wait, okay, so O-line coach, right? But you're a quarterback. Like, did he ever try to get you on the line? You got good size, Kyle, let's be honest,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, not once. Not once.
Not once?
I really wanted to be a receiver. I thought I was a receiver, and then I realized, you know, you got to be fast. Because we used to play in the backyard, and he would throw me passes, and, you know, I'm making diving catches, and, like, I was like, yes, yeah, I can do this. And then I realized I'm not fast, and so I started going to him, me throwing him routes, and he was a big man back then, so they were stationary. He wasn't running around a lot. And then we put baskets out there, and then we had, you know, some trees that I'm trying to throw through, and he's just, you know, teaching me drills and doing things. If you're going to do this, you're going to be the best. And one of the things he always told me and he always taught me that stuck with me is, you know, what's the other guy doing? Is the other guy working harder than you? Like, you just did 10 sprints. Are they doing 12? What are you willing to do to make yourself the best? And I took that with me for not just football, but coaching, academics, everything. Just, if you're going to do something, be the best at it.
Availability as a father too is so huge. You know this, Kyle, as you know, the hours that you spend coaching up young men. And, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about you is, you know, I'll ask you to come on a show, or I'll text you, you know, some info about the you know, the game that you just completed the Friday before. Like, oh, I'm on my way to my daughter's volleyball tournament, you know, Saturday morning. I got to get up at 6:30. So, you know, you're up till whatever time you are, maybe even watching some film the night before. But the availability that you show to your own kids is huge. And I'm sure your father played a big part in that as well.
Yeah, you know, he didn't miss very many of my games. He tried not to miss very many of my sister's games when she was playing softball. You know, seeing some memories somebody posted on Facebook from when my dad would go to my sister's softball games. And, you know, he had some sayings, some old school softball sayings that, you know, put some mustard on it or I can't remember all of them, but just hearing like some of that stuff, that's, I remember those days. Yeah. I remember because I was sitting on the blanket next to him. But I remember going to those games and being there with him, and the stuff he said, that stands out. But, you know, yeah, as far as my daughter, I mean, I love watching her play. I love watching her compete. My sons are starting to get into it too, so I'm excited about that. I don't want to force them to do anything they don't want to do. So it's just like I'm just on the edge of my seat waiting for them to make that decision on their own. My daughter's already, she's full, she's an athlete.
I've seen the pictures.
And
it's great,
she loves playing softball and volleyball, and she played on the school basketball team. They won a championship this year. And so it's cool to you know, I'm more nervous watching her play than watching our games or calling our games. It's just that I'm so nervous.
And it is hard. My daughter's played basketball, AAU stuff. You're right. Like, you could coach and you're in the game and you know what you're doing and things are working out. It might be a control thing, let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
That might be like you're a dad watching, you're like, they should be doing this. I'm nervous. Why aren't they doing that? So, yeah, that's probably
it. You have no control over the outcome. You're
nope.
Just I hope everything you've been taught comes through in this moment. And then the hard part for me is that car ride home, you know, being the dad or being the
yes.
coach. And
yep.
I'm trying to get
where
better.
Where are you at with that? Trying to get better. Okay.
I'm trying
so that
to
tells
get
me
better.
Something.
You know, I've had moments where we just stare at each other, and we've had moments where we laugh and giggle. And it's just trying to find that fine line of not putting too much pressure on him and just letting her have fun and enjoy it. And that's what I want. It's sports, even with our guys, it should be fun.
Exactly.
That's why we play.
Exactly. We've got about another 4 minutes with Coach Kyle Biggs. So, first state championship in 2019, your dad was on staff, and, you know, that picture is probably pretty special holding up that state championship plaque. And,
so,
you got a story about that?
There's a funny story. The picture of me and him hugging.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm actually telling him to get off me because the game wasn't over yet. And he laughs about it. And he's like, I know, but I got to hug you. And it's just him being a dad, you know, just like, and, you know, I was the get off of me, but somebody caught it at the right time. So it looks like a great picture. And I'm glad somebody was able to snap it today. Now that I have that memory with him, it was pretty amazing. But to win that whole thing with him and to win the three championships with him, you know, there's meetings where on Sunday meetings, he's chiming in. I'm like, Dad, would you ever ask Coach Simons that? And be like, no, but I'm asking you. It's like, all right, okay, I get it. And, you know, some of those meetings, he drove me nuts with some of his questions. But what I wouldn't have to have him in those meetings and asking those questions now, we look back on it, it was just a really, really great time to just get to be with your dad, you know, every day. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. And then when the kids would come to practice, he was no longer Coach Biggs. He was Papa. And he would just wander off with those guys. And one night, we after a game, we didn't know where Madden was, and we couldn't find her. And she's with Papa, just walking around through the tunnel, walking around the whole field. And, I mean, we were a little nervous, and it was pretty funny. He was just like, what? I got her.
Of course I do. I'm
yeah,
Papa.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not letting her out of my sight. State championship, you got to hang out with Mayor Jerry Dyer, right? Was
yeah.
That Thursday?
Yeah.
How cool was that?
That was pretty cool. I didn't expect the mayor to be at the parade, but that was pretty cool. Says a lot, you know. And it's funny when you get leaders who care about sports, how much sports really impact, you know, a school or a community. And my 10 years at Central, we've got to really be a part of something special and see that. And it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to just sometimes step back and see the kids celebrate with their families and the culture that's been developed through the years. And it's just for him to come and be a part of it and see it is pretty cool.
Final thoughts, Kyle, just wrapping everything up. I know it's still pretty recent since your father passed. My father passed 3.5 years ago. And just those voices that you hear, those good things that you hear in your head will stick with you forever for sure. But what are some final thoughts that you have about your dad?
Just what an impact he had on everybody's life. You know, he's been coaching football for over 40 years. So, you know, there's a lot of athletes and students, you know, that he was able to mentor and help and you know, change their lives or, you know, do something for them. And that's what stands out the most, just the impact he had on so many people. And, you know, I'm sure there's someone out there, but I have never met anyone that had something negative or something bad to say about him. He was a fun, loving guy that everyone loved to be around. And he made some amazing breakfasts, his biscuits and gravy. were phenomenal. His skinny pancakes. You know, he didn't mess with dinners. He would make us breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
But it was always amazing. And those little things is what I'm going to miss the most. Just, you know, my kids not being able to see their grandpa and see what I saw, you know, what I got to see as a dad with him growing up and how just amazing he was.
Well, Kyle, again, thanks for coming in and sharing those great stories.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. The memories are going to last forever, and you're probably going to get some of those cool pictures up there in your office with you and your dad. Probably got some up there already, but it's pretty special, and I know you know it. So, again, thank you for coming on and sharing those stories. Appreciate it.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, Coach Kyle Biggs. We're going to take a break here. We got John Penberthy, the Fresno Christian Boys basketball coach, coming up next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield, and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome back. Thank you guys for listening. This is hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report. You're listening to it on 1430 ESPN. Again, we're being live streamed on YouTube, so you can check it out there, even if you missed part of the show. Highly recommend going back. Just had a really good interview with Central East coach Kyle Biggs and the impact that his father had on the coaching community. Just hearing those stories, you know, just kind of warms your heart and kind of just makes you think about what high school sports are all about. Community, instilling lessons in young men and women, all the things that makes coaches special, right? It's just heartwarming, and it's good stuff. And a lot of times we lose focus on what the game's really about, what high school sports are really about. But when you hear memories and the values that are instilled, it brings things back into focus. So thanks to Coach Kyle Biggs for coming on and sharing stories about his father who recently passed. John Penberthy, friend of the show, is here with us. He's got a game today, man, so he's got a lot of stuff going on. He was kind enough to come here to First String Sports to talk Fresno Christian basketball in general. They're playing Edison at 3 o'clock, right?
Yep, 3 o'clock. It's their Super Saturday, as they call it, so it's cool to get invited to that one.
Yeah, great. I'm excited to talk to you. It's been a fun time getting to know you over the last 2, 3, 4 years, defending D4 champs, state championship run. That was so much fun to follow you guys through that. I almost said Happy New Year, and I'm curious, John. I'm looking at the date right now on my computer, the 17th. Is there like a certain date where you stop saying that? There has to be, right? It's too late to say Happy New Year.
Yeah, for me, I would assume it'd be when you go back to school. You go back to school and you hit up Happy New Year type of thing. So you see everybody coming back into the classroom, back for me, back into the gym. You say Happy New Year, and that probably would have been around the 10th of January or so.
Yeah, and then, okay, same to you. And then you're done with it.
Yeah.
Right, you can ask, well, how was your Christmas break and all that. You can get through that, you know, depending on how much time you got. Uh-huh. But, yeah, okay, I'm with you. That sounds about right, right? Like, Happy New Year now. I mean, we're already on the 17th. But you did have a good Christmas, right? You got another little Penberthy tradition you're trying to start off here?
Yeah, you know, for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been hitting up Disneyland on New Year's Day, and some years it works in our favor. Like this year, it poured on us and kept the ride lines down. Other years, it's been sunny and 80 degrees and had two-hour waits and majority rides. So this year, we got poured on, had a lot of fun, and took some funny pictures and sent one over to you because I know you're the Star Wars geek, if you will.
I'm fine with that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Well,
I know who I am.
You know, I geeked out when I saw your arcade game of the... What was that?
The Star Wars.
The Star Wars arcade game.
The sit-down
version.
That was
pretty cool. Yep. So when I stepped into one of those Star Wars rides, I go, yeah, send this over to Paul. And we were texting back and forth while we were waiting in line. So that was pretty fun.
All right. Yeah, happy to help you with those line weights there and to pass the time, because I know those can be not so enjoyable at times.
Yep.
All right. So today, again, you mentioned Edison at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Rich tradition, right? They have a new gym. I actually haven't seen their new.
I haven't either.
Gym yet.
I haven't either. You know, I have memories of the old gym because of my brothers playing in it. I only got to play in it twice because of when they were let's see, the Fresno or Hoover gym was being built around 2000, the new one. And my junior year playing varsity, we had to play in the Fresno State gym because our gym was being built.
And the East, what do they call that? The East gym,
something like that. And so that was our one game that we got to play them. And then my senior year, I remember going to Edison and playing, and that was back with Jerome Ireland. I remember him playing and some of these guys. And so I haven't been there a long time, but most of my memories are watching my brothers there. And that was always an interesting one. And Edison at the time was one of the better programs in our section. That was Dave Severns that was coaching at the time. And let's see, Riddle Sprigger would have been coaching. I think he coached against me when I was there. So they've had a long, rich tradition of very good basketball. Now they got Jamar Chisholm there who came over from Edison. So they're going to get back and going pretty soon. I'm pretty confident in that.
How are you framing this game to your boys? Is it like, hey, this could be a really good win for us? What are you preaching, you and your staff?
Yeah, you know, basketball season, it's so different. I was listening to some of what you did with Kyle. We have 28 or 29 games, and football you have 10. So you got to take advantage of all 10 of them. You don't want to give up 10% of your season because of a loss. But in basketball, for us, it's more or less, are we accomplishing what we're setting out to do? And are we going to peak at the right time? So it's at some points, you're more looking at it of, we really need to focus on this today. We get to play a more athletic team than what we've seen probably since we played McLean and Sanger West. So we got some challenges there that they're probably going to be a little bit more athletic than us. But at the same time, we get to run our stuff and see them. So we're framing it as this is a game where we get to see some athletic kids. We need to work on X, Y, and Z to prepare us for the playoff run. So obviously we're here to win. We're here to compete and to put our best foot forward. But at the same time, we're looking to check some boxes on what are we doing well.
One loss on the season, 16-1, I believe. This year's team, right, compared to last year's team. I don't want to compare. So, you know, the great run. Mm-hmm. You do have some new players this year.
Yep.
How do you feel like the season's going? Are you guys exactly where you thought you were at the beginning of the year, UB?
Yeah, so we only returned one player off of last year's state runner-up season. And so that put some challenges in. We knew our JV guys that are coming up, we're going to be young. They're going to be mostly sophomores and a junior. And we also knew we had a couple freshmen that we were excited about, and we knew that it'd be a growing year. We had no idea that we'd have four transfers coming in, one in June, one in October, and two in November. And so we didn't know what exactly we'd look like. We knew these young kids we were really excited about that were moving up from our JV program. And now with having some of these transfers in, it allows us to not put so much pressure on them to succeed every game, and they could grow and develop naturally, which is probably more preferred. That you get a little bit more seasoning on a JV team your junior year, you get to contribute, and your senior year you're ready to go. That's typically what we see. And we were nervous that some of these sophomores were gonna have to carry a heavy load in scoring 15 a game against 18 year olds isn't the easiest thing to do. So getting a couple transfers in took that weight off of them, took that pressure off them, and allows them to play kind of where they're able to do and really able to contribute to what our team needs to do, and they've been doing a great job of it. So we're really excited about the current season. We're really excited about the growth of the program too.
All right, so let's talk about one of those young men that you were was able to play for you this year, Leon Amatic, senior. Remember him when he played for Kerman and won a Valley championship. We were able to call that game. I think he scored 30 points. They're like, oh, Ed Maddox's kid. This kid's pretty good. And now is at Fresno Christian. I watched him score 35 at Kingsburg. The kid can absolutely fill it up. Just what impact has he had on the program this year?
Yeah, he's a phenomenal talent. He's got this rare blend of size and speed and shooting ability that is hard to match here in our section. We don't see too many 6'6 guards or guard forward type of players. He's shooting almost 50% from the 3-point line, which is unheard of. And he's taken that scoring load off. And at the same time, he's also leading our team in assists. So he's not just a scorer. He's able to carry that load also on the assist side. And like I said, he's just able to take the weight off of these younger guys so that they could do what they do well and not force them into feeling like they have to score every time they get the ball. And so Leon's done a great job of that. And we're seeing it from quite a few of our guys too, but specifically Leon, when the game gets tight, the ball's probably going to find him pretty quickly.
Yeah. Who are some other kids that are doing a good job for you guys?
Yeah, Tyson Ramirez, he's coming off of a really good football 4-year career for us, and he's our one returner. He's stepped right in, and we weren't sure if he's going to play because we knew that he's got some offers to go play football. And I was sitting on the bench next to him, and I said, did you think we would be 9-1 at this point? And he just said, no, not at all. And so it's nice to have him back. He brings the size and athleticism that we needed to contribute kind of at these higher-end games, especially at Kingsburg, which has got pretty good size as well.
And Tyson's 6'7". Yeah. Not too many 6'7" quarterbacks out there.
No, not at all. And so he does a great job, and he kind of fills in on the rebounding side, and then he finishes really well around the hoop. So he does a good job. And then, like I said, we had a handful of transfers come in that have just kind of filled a lot of holes that we were looking for. And then a couple of these guys coming up with Isaiah Long and being able to kind of move into a backup role so that he could kind of see what's going on with the game and step in and play. And Cash Hurdle, who transferred in last year, is a sophomore, kind of a quasi-sophomore. We're still trying to figure that one out. Coming in off the bench and being able to just be athletic. And, again, it's hard to score 20 a game when you know everybody's trying to stop you. And when you're not quite ready to do that, you find yourself taking shots that you shouldn't be taking. And so Leon's relieved the pressure from that, and Tyson's been able to clean up, and Ty Medeiros, who came in from Clovis West, have all kind of been able to plug some of these holes and allowed us to really take off.
College interest for Leon?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting one. Obviously, his dad was a college coach for 15-plus years, and he's still coaching that. They just call him. And it's in ways it's kind of nice, and in ways I'm like, well, I'd like to talk to you also. But he's got some interest. He's got people calling. But his dad, obviously being a JUCO coach for 15-plus years, has all those connections.
Sure.
And so he's got quite a few people calling around and sniffing around and seeing how he's doing. They're going to want to bring him in and kind of put him through the test out there with some bigger guys. But, again, you're 6'5" or 6'6", 195 pounds, you already have a college body.
He does. Yeah. I mean, some of those moves and decision-making skills, I mean, he's got the complete package. That Kingsburg game is going to stand out to me for a long time. All right, John, so I pulled this up. I haven't talked about this too much yet. I did in football. I felt like I overdid it in football. Basketball, a little bit of a different animal. I'm talking about the base divisions. I know you're also the school's athletic director at Fresno Christian, so you're privy to a lot of meetings and a lot of discussions.
Sure.
about all this stuff. I guess my first question about this is, like, are we at a good spot? Is the CIF doing a good job of listening to the to the people out there, to the committee, and getting all that feedback and putting together a good package to where the playoffs are at a pretty good spot as far as where to put teams?
Yeah, the CIF as a whole for our section, I think, does a really good job of listening. What they keep waiting for is for people to bring these ideas to the tables and say, what about this and what about this, and get them to the athletic directors and get them to the advisory committees and things like that so that they can make changes. They're not the ones, Ryan and Matt aren't the ones that are directly making changes. They're the ones maybe presenting ideas, take it to the athletic directors, and if the athletic directors shut it down, they can't do anything. And so they've done a great job of listening and trying to make sure that the ideas that are coming up fit with what they're looking for. So they do a good job. The current system, I think, is better than what it was over the last couple years of teams could move up and get put into a spot where there just is really no chance to fully succeed in the playoffs. And in previous years, I could speak for Fresno Christian, especially the basketball side. We went 20-8 and got pushed up a division and were the 12 or 13 seed. In years past, if you won 20 games, you were guaranteed a 1, 2, or 3 seed in your division and set up to at least get a home game and to try and have some success. Getting moved up to a 12 seed, and in our case, having to travel 3 hours for an away game, really felt like a kind of like, what's the purpose of trying to win? Because if we had lost one or two more games, we would have been a 1 or 2 seed. And that's never a message that we want to give across. Like, it's competition, it's athletics. We think it's God's given us these abilities to play hard and to just say, you know what, if we roll over, we might get a better seed. And so we're firmly against that. So we like the current system of, if you're going to get moved up, you will be guaranteed a top. We did a bunch of background, had some buddies working on it, doing a lot of history of what teams had moved up. And we found that if you were a top 4 seed, you had a 75% chance of winning the first round game. If you were a bottom 4 seed, you had a 75% chance of losing. And that was across all sports. That wasn't just basketball. That included water polo and tennis and baseball and everything. So we took that to our leagues, and they voted on it, and they thought it was like, yeah, if you're going to get moved up, let's at least acknowledge that you need to be a top 4 seed in the division above you. And so for that, we're grateful for it. I'm not a huge fan of teams moving down, especially if you're a division. In our case, we're a base 4. If you're a Division III team and you move down, now you got to open with a team that is a Division III school that just wasn't having as good of a year. That's my take. Doesn't mean that they shouldn't be a Division IV school, but I would like to play teams in my division. There's a reason why you have divisions. Let me play against them. Let's line up and see how we do.
Do you think you're going to be bumped to Division III, or do you think you're, Fresno Christian is going to stay in IV?
As of right now, I kind of look in – kind of do the math and see who's ranked ahead of us in max preps, and it looks like we're going to be either a 3 or 4 seed in Division III. We got about 11 games to go, and a lot could change in 11 games, whether it's us picking up a loss or strength of schedules dropping us, or a school ahead of us, which is looking like is that Tulare Union. North and South Bakersfield are going to be up there. CVC, Justin Garza, McLean. One or two losses from any of those Division IV schools could take you from being a 4 seed in Division III to a 1 seed in IV. That's how big one loss can really do it. Even Sanger West, who's a base 5, is looking at being a 1, 2, or 3 seed in Division IV. In that league that they're in the NYL CMAC, one or two losses could take them from Division IV to Division V. So there's a lot there. I think we're going to end up falling into a 3 or 4 seed. If CVC goes on a run, they may hop us, and we could get dropped back down into Division IV. So it's a really weird spot to be in, and that's where internally I know there's a lot of coaches that are like, you know, one loss could put you as a 1 seed. I'm going, well, I agree, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. That's definitely not the message to send to your players.
Yeah, D3 is if it fleshes out like we think it might, it's going to be an absolute loaded division. Do you, John, let's spend a couple minutes, because I want to talk about some old school stuff as well with you. Like, you know, does you guys look at it as a challenge? If you do, like, do you like that? Again, I don't want you to think I'm comparing to another school, Emmanuel or CVC or even San Joaquin Memorial, but you see some of these schools, you see CVC with football, how they went from mm-hmm. 4, you know, winning all the way up to state championships too. It wasn't that long ago San Joaquin Memorial was playing Division IV stuff, and right. Now look where they're at. Yep. So is that kind of how you're framing it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think over time, Bakersfield Christian basketball made the big jump. They just told CAF, correct, we're a Division I program. And that's pretty cool to say, you know what, we're not Division IV or III, whatever it was when they made the jump. And Garrett Brown probably made the right decision to say, no, that's where we're supposed to be. And he probably also saw that they could maintain that long-term success. It wasn't just a one-year thing. But that should be the goal for every program, to go, you know what, I want to win my division. When I can sustain that, I'm ready to move up. When I can sustain that, I'm ready to move up. What we see is with smaller programs, we're 210 kids. You get a big class like we had last year, and I'm left with one returning player, and he was a maybe. So I would have to bring up a whole JV squad. I had no idea that five transfers would be coming in to sustain the success that we had. And it was like, oh, it's going to be a learning year. It's going to be a regrouping year. Give me a year or two, and these guys are ready to go when they're juniors and seniors. That's what small schools see. A lot of kids go up, going through your little hoopsters. They play your AAU. They play club. And then they graduate. And the other kids have said, you know what? I think I'm going to go play soccer. I think I'm going to wrestle. Or whatever sports are going on around you, and you lose those athletes to those other sports because we got about 100 boys in the school. And of those 100 boys, we have 20 of them playing basketball, and 20 of them are playing soccer, and the other ones are getting ready for a spring sport. So we have a hard time sustaining that over and over and over again. That's what small schools struggle with. Bigger schools, you will see, I'll use a football example. McLean has historically been struggling in the football department. They get in a coach, he's provided stability. All of a sudden, all those athletes are like, this is awesome. I'm willing to put in the time. And they've had amazing success, and it's really cool to see. I think if they continue to see that, and if their coach remains there, they'll start moving up the rankings in football. Their boys' basketball program's in that same boat. They were in Division 5, now they're Division 4, and they're able to compete at a Division 3 level. And that's what you need. You need coaches that are going to stick around. That's what we've seen. Our coaches that have stuck around at Fresno Christian have had a lot of success, whether that's girls volleyball, girls and boys volleyball, girls soccer, obviously boys basketball, that's what we're talking about. And the programs that have struggled are typically programs that cannot retain their coaches for whatever reason it is. So I'm a fan of teams moving up when it's appropriate, when they can sustain it. I hate programs that have a good year, they get moved up, and then they can't sustain it. You look at Sierra basketball, they got moved all the way up to D3 where they played Kingsburg in the section championship. And they are probably more of a Division 4 to 5 program at this time. Give it a couple years, they're probably going to pick back up again. We just can't sustain when we're looking at 100 boys year in and year out to try and do that. So that's the challenges we face. Our whole school is the size of some kid's 6-period PE class. And so go find your best athletes to play 15 sports out of that one PE class and then come play us. So that's kind of where we're at.
That's a good point. All right, John, best basketball player you've ever seen at the high school level?
Javance Coleman. He was that I played with and that I remember playing with. He was phenomenal. I played with him in junior high. He moved right up to varsity, and we were the runner-up in 2000, that was the first Clovis West when they had the kid, Charlie Hernandez. And I think that's his name, Charlie Rodriguez. And it was Chris Hernandez and Tyrone Jackson and Wahlberg, just Nick Devin, a bunch of kids. And here he is as a sophomore, and he's like, he was unstoppable. And he was just phenomenal. I also, when I went off to college, from 2003 to about 2015, I didn't have any connection back to Central Valley basketball. So anybody in that time frame, I couldn't tell you much about. But the ones that I remember playing against, ones I remember watching, I just remember thinking Javance, because of his size and athleticism, was unstoppable. Since coaching, let's see, that'd be 2015 roughly till now, over the last 11, 12 years. It took the Fresno Christian program a while to get to a point where we were playing some of those better players. Those first 5 years, we were just a developing program. We were a pretty good Division V program, where now we're able to play against some of these bigger programs pretty constantly. Speaking of, his former coach, Tim Amundsen, walking through.
And his son.
And his son, Javance Coleman Jr. So since then, we're able to play against a lot of guys. But, yeah, Javance was the guy that I remember thinking, like, this guy's unstoppable.
And this was not pre-planned. Like, I did not I did not ask you that question for you to say Javance Coleman.
I wouldn't
was
have
the best
changed
high school
my time
and
had I known Sunday. Tim was walking in. I would have kept the 10:30 slot.
Yeah, we had to do a little switcheroo. maybe the last question. But, you know, Brother Mike.
Yep.
Right? We like our Mike stories. Shooting coach for many years and – latched on with the Denver Nuggets and now is with his buddy, Jason Kidd, with the Dallas Mavericks. Yeah. You just Google his name, you'll find a bunch of cool clips. But Shooting with Cooper Flagg in the summer, working on free throws. There saw this little towel drill. I don't know if you've seen that video, right?
Did.
Yeah, towel drill, shooting free throws, the towel drops and all this stuff, keeping that chicken wing in.
Yeah.
What are some cool stories from this year? I know we got plenty of stories about him growing up and all that, but how about from this year? What have you heard from him this year coaching with the Mavericks? What's that been like with Coop?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, we all got the group text with our family members. We got the text message going on with Mike, how's the season going? And obviously with Kyrie out and AD out, and then they were down four starters at one point, and so it was a different type of start for the season. But we try and keep most of our conversations family-based. Like, he's got a daughter playing D1 softball, and my other brother's got kids playing and graduating and doing all kinds of stuff. And so most of our conversations are more just keeping up. Obviously, my brother Joe's in Seattle, and Aaron went over to Clovis South, and Mike's out there. So we're all constantly just like, what's going on with the family? And then from time to time, we'll sneak in an NBA question, or, hey, what do you think of this guy, or where's this at? And so it's constantly just an ongoing text message thread of just whatever's relevant in the day-to-day. But, no, he's excited about the youth of Flag. I think he just turned 19 or something like that. But, yeah, he's saying he's trying to keep his arms in and keeping the chicken wing in, as obviously with the towel drill, which – I had Mike come out, I want to say it was 2016, and I thought I had a pretty good team that year. We lost in the section championship, and I said, hey, I got some young guys. Can you come out and do a camp with me? He said, sure, I'll come do a camp. And he starts saying these verbiage, and he starts doing these drills. And I'm like, okay, you fine-tune Ferraris. And here I am over at Fresno Christian, a small D5 school, and I'm like, I've never heard of this stuff before. And he's just doing all this stuff. I'm like, okay, we need to scale back and kind of get to some high school technique and some high school stuff. And maybe the old Peter Sharkey Pro Nation and Soup Nation and all this different stuff that we all learned. And let's get back to the Mike and drills. But that's just what he does. My daughter and I went down to watch him do some workouts when he was with the Nuggets. And just watching it, she walked out and she goes, I had no idea how hard they worked. And that's really what separates a lot of these guys that are pretty good to really good to NBA. And I'll tell a funny story in our group text. My brother Aaron typically is the one that's like, dude, what's with the Mavericks? Like, who's this and who's that? And Kyrie bought everybody whatever those golf carts were for Christmas. He's like, Mike, did you get a golf cart and stuff? But he goes, Mike, who's the best shooter on the team? And probably like Tim would say too, Tim would probably say I am. And in the group text, all of us arguing who the best shooter is amongst the boys. But he goes, well, let's put it this way. In the last shooting drill, I made 94 out of 100 threes. And he just goes, I won't say anything else about who the best shooter on the team is.
So, like right now.
Yeah.
He could still make 94 out of 100.
He made 94 out of 100. And I get excited when I make 94 out of 100 layups. So
yeah.
That's Mike about where I'm at. So that tells you how good these guys are that, even when Mike was playing with the Lakers, he was an end-of-the-bench guy, 15 minutes a game. He could walk out at 50 and make 94 out of 100 threes. Like, that's pretty darn good.
It's a different level, isn't it? I love that. I love that story about him coming in and just talking to these youngsters about shooting tips, and they're like, I have no idea what he's talking about. I just want to shoot a basketball.
It was over my head.
Yeah. Hey, good stuff as always, John. Your Fresno Christian Eagles are playing Edison at 3:00. Good luck on that game, and thanks for coming in to First String Sports and sharing with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. All right, we'll take a break. We got Tim Adamson and Javance Coleman Jr. here as well on the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest.
We got Coach Tim Adamson here, Javance Coleman as well. Coach Adamson, always great to see you, man. You are when I text you, I'm like, I hope Tim could come on this time, because you were on my Fresno Pacific show last month, and you guys chopped it up talking about those good old days playing for Fresno Pacific.
That was a good time to see Johnny and Todd. Great. Don't spend enough time with those guys anymore.
Well, yeah, there you go. Guys. Hopefully you guys can hang out a little bit more after that show. Good stories. We got Javance Coleman Jr. here as well. Four-year guy, man. I've had the pleasure of watching him play. I remember Javance's freshman year. like, you know who that is, right? They were sitting in the stands. That's Javance Coleman's kid. There he is right there. And here we are, senior year, man. Is time flown by coaching this guy?
Yes. We were just talking about that on the way over. Like, we got a few games left in his career in high school, man. Enjoy it.
Let's talk about
it. It's gone really fast.
It has. And that's what everybody says. The days can be long, but the years are definitely short, and careers can be short. Javance, let's start with you. I want to talk about that Sanger game, right? So, you know, we knew it would be a physical game. You and I were talking, Coach, when they were warming up. Like, Sanger's got a couple big kids here. This is going to be a physical game. It's always physical. How do you feel like the game went for you, Javance? I know you had 29 points, really relied on you in the second half, but just kind of walk us through that game for you.
The game, I feel like I started off pretty slow. Missed three free throws, shot a couple shots that probably aren't the best shots for our offense, but my team held it together. They got us going in the first half. Montrell, a good tip in to help us out. Julius, Tyler. Our seniors, kept us together in that first half. In the second half, I just had to wake up a little bit and had to do what I do.
And you certainly did. I want to go back to one play in particular. Keep it real, right? You guys are up four. You're walking the ball up. You get picked, right? You're kind of looking at the bench for a play. You get picked, and they get a layup. Mm-hmm. Timeout's called. 1:15 left. 2-point game, right? You take it to the hole, you get an and-one situation. What was kind of going through your mind? I saw you come back to the bench, you're like, man, that's my bad. So did you feel like you had to redeem yourself a little bit for your teammates? Felt like I had to get to the basket? What was going through your mind at that point?
I don't really get picked often. So when it does happen, it is a little surprising for me. I was looking at the bench because I thought we were trying to waste a little clock, but that's on me for not still being aggressive. So we went back to the bench. I took that one on the chin and, took it on the chin and showed out how to – I'll get it back for us, and I did.
You got the and one.
Yes, sir.
You got the and one. Tim, kind of walk us through that moment for you as a coach.
It was actually not his fault. It was my fault. I should have called a timeout. We were trying to decide what we wanted to run or how long we wanted to run clock. He's looking at me, and he got stripped. So I put that one on me. But I thought he said Jordan Acuna, Julius Zamora, Tyler Connors, and Javance. I thought our seniors carried us that night. They were all very solid. Val played very well throughout the game, both offense and defense. And then we kept it close, and then our best player closed it.
There you go, your best
player. He did a great job at making free throws. The end one changed the game. And then I think we went on a 9-0 run to end the game. We defended a little better at the end. We were having a hard time holding him to one shot. So in the last couple of minutes, we were able to hold him to one and got him the ball, and he knocked down all the free throws, and we walked away with the win. That was a tough one. It's going to be really tough going back there.
Yeah, that's a tough place to play.
Yeah.
Tim, after 22 games, you've leaned heavy on the guy to your left, Javance. You knew he'd have to carry the load in a lot of games. But how do you feel like the team has developed as a whole and where you guys are at now?
He's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders, and I'm hard on him, and he's been a stud all year for us. But we're in an interesting time where we have four seniors that play a lot, very solid. And then we got two freshmen and six sophomores that play a lot of minutes that are all never played varsity before. So every time I get tight or I'm like want to get upset about something, I go, wait a minute, these guys, first big game at Memorial, these guys have never played in front of a big crowd. They haven't played, traveled to these tournaments out of town. All of our young guys are getting worn down already, and you can just see it. But they're all doing a great job. It's been tough to balance winning now and giving our seniors our best and also developing the young guys. So I'm trying to develop, but I owe it to the seniors to ride the guys that are playing well to win. So I'm in that in-between of developing for the young guys and then trying to have a great year for these guys that are seniors, and they're doing a great job, all the seniors.
Javance, for you, do you feel the pressure out there, or are you just like, man, I just want to play my game, I want to involve everybody? What's this year been like for you?
This year has been really just playing. I knew the pressure would come once everybody left, so Javance did, Javance scored these, Javance did this. But my team keeps me together at times when I'm not ready to play or I have mental lapses. They keep me together. So just out there just playing free, really.
How's it been playing for Coach Abinson for these 4 years? He literally, said, I'm hard on him, and which is true. I've known Tim for a long time. I know his coaching style. He brings out the best in you. Right. So how has he helped develop your game?
He developed my game through the roof. It feels like, coming in as a 14-year-old freshman playing varsity, you couldn't tell me nothing, to be honest. I felt like, I used to come in, dribble the air out the basketball, stop, baseline. Not doing that. So he changed my game. I play off 2 feet now. I see the pass better. I make my form got a lot better. So I owe a lot of it to Coach Amson, why I'm the player I am today.
Do you how's that for you to hear there, Coach?
That's very nice of him to say, but he's also a gym rat. He works hard. And I think the unseen hours, that John was just talking about that earlier, Penworthy, but this guy puts a lot of time into work on his game, so he's really improved his shot. And again, kids got to buy into listening a little bit. And it's been give and take. Yeah. We've battled a lot, but he's grown up a lot. When you take year one to now and you look at the big picture, he's grown as a person. For me, more importantly, he's a better person, better guy, better teammate, and he's a much better player as well.
That's great to hear. You talk about his senior year. And that's something probably you look forward for a long time, right? You come as a freshman, and you said it, right? You thought you a lot of air in the ball, right? You like to dribble the basketball and do different things like that. How do you feel, though, like you have matured, though, over these last 4 years of playing basketball at Bullard High School, maturity-wise as well?
Just being a leader. Usually my freshman year, I didn't have to lead. Sophomore, I didn't have to lead. Junior year, I led a little bit, not too much. But this year, it shows a lot of my character that I have to be a leader. The team follows me. If I'm down, we're all down. If I'm high, we're all high. If I'm medium, we're all medium. So just show that I have to be more of a leader, and I can be that. That's what I want to be.
Tim, how's your coaching style? You mentioned it a tiny bit, right? You had to remind yourself throughout games that these are young kids. How have you and your staff had to pivot a bit, bringing these young guys along?
Every day we have discussions. We're learning, too. Like I try to never stop learning as a coach. And kids are just different today. The mentality is different. The approach is different. Some of these kids don't want to even watch college basketball, and I can't even relate. I go, really? I grew up watching every game I can watch. So just figuring out a way to how to motivate them to make sure that they're doing everything they can to reach their goals and dreams, student athletes. And so we just have conversations, and every kid's different. You got to figure out. Some kids like getting yelled at. Some kids don't. You got to talk to them. I've gotten way better at talking to kids and not yelling as much. I'm pretty intense, obviously, so because I'm very competitive, and I want what's best for these guys. And I know when we let things go, when we slack or we're not working or we're not as focused, it's going to hurt us in the end. So the details for me and making the simple play are what I'm really trying to hammer with these young guys. And they're coming along, by the way. They're all doing a good job, and they're great, great kids. We have a great group of kids. Most enjoyable year in a long time for me.
Good to hear.
Yeah,
Javance, has there been one game in particular? I know you guys have made some great runs in the state. I know you've been hurt. I want to get to that in just a second. Yeah. But has there been? Yeah, right. Kind of forget about that. Has there been like one game in particular that's stuck out to you after all these years? Maybe the intensity. Maybe the Memorial games last year, right? Those two great games you played against them.
Great games last year.
Probably the Memorial game last year, the second round of them playing us.
Home one?
No, we played them at Memorial.
Oh, that one? That one was second?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, played them at Memorial for the league, for us to get to the league championship to tie it up with them. That was probably the most
overtime, right?
Yeah, yeah. Overtime. Yeah. Double overtime, actually.
That's right.
Double overtime. I got fouled out in the second overtime. Remember that one, so. Yeah, probably the most intense game I've ever been in. Nervous. The whole arena is against you. Everybody's on 10. Everybody's on the heels. Things going to happen. And, pull away, and we end up winning that game.
Student sections going back and forth.
Everybody doing
backflips. Within 10 feet of each other.
Awesome.
I remember you talking about that game last year. Like, you can't even hear yourself coach, can you?
You can't. That's why leadership is so important. He's done a good job. He's calling stuff on his own out there. We can yell whatever we want. They can't hear us. They can't. Yeah. Kids got to play. It's great.
What's your favorite type of play, Javance? Like an and one, drive to the hoop, a 30-foot three? I don't know. How about for you? What do you enjoy?
The assist.
Oh, good. Look at this guy.
You're saying that 'cause that's my favorite thing.
No, I like the assist.
Love the assist. I like the and one, too, but I love the assist. It's just a vibe thing for me. It's a teammate setting another teammate up to make a shot. The assist is my favorite thing.
Yeah, I agree. Good stuff. Javance, like college, you want to play at the next level? Like, where are we at with that?
The goal is also, of course, to get to the next level, to D1. I'm working that way toward. Got a couple looks, but still around there. D2, they're hitting me up, JUCOs. But, D1 is definitely where I want to be
at. So definitely you're gonna play next year somewhere.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So, again, when Coach Penberthy was here, right, that name goes a long way, right? I know you got a lot of Hoover stuff with you, Coach, as well. I asked John the best player that he's ever seen at the high school level, and this wasn't pre-planned. I don't think he even knew you guys were coming on, but he said your pops. Okay. Right? Javance Coleman. Yeah. Like, I mean, Tim, you coached him, right, at Hoover?
So John came in right after
Help
Javance
me out with that
left. Okay. I'm trying to remember when, but, yeah, that was my first year as a head coach. I was an assistant at Clovis West. I was tired to listen to Vance. Went and got a head job. I literally almost got the Sunnyside job. And last minute, Hoover called me, and I kind of waited when I interviewed him. Todd Tompkins was there. Troy Brown was there. Peter Sharkey was there. Ron Moore. So I kind of bailed on Sunnyside and took the Hoover job. Had no idea the talent. His dad was an incoming freshman. And probably to this day, is probably the most player I've coached in my career. Like, I thought for sure that he would have been really close to the NBA. So when we've had a lot of guys go pro and play, make a living going pro for a long time that I've coached, and Javance also played, I think, 7 or 8 years pro, but he was really good. Really good, really triple-double guy, really unselfish. Dunk on UN one, have 10 assists, 10 rebounds, and as a freshman and sophomore, like, very impressive.
Javance, for you growing up, was just basketball always part of your DNA? Like, did you have a basketball in your crib or anything like that? Do you remember, like, the first time you were able to shoot a basket?
Growing up, no. I actually wasn't a basketball player. I was more of a soccer, baseball guy, actually. And later on, I played, like,
I didn't
little
know
basketball.
You played baseball.
Yeah, I did all that.
No
baseball,
idea.
Soccer. No, then later on, probably around second grade, I started trying to get into basketball a little bit. And then I started to enjoy it. I started, like, making shots, nose, the crowd. I started scoring. Then I didn't really start taking basketball seriously till fifth grade. I started working out, started playing AAU. So, like, fifth grade is when I started really playing basketball. But growing up, I was more soccer, baseball.
All right. We're learning something today, aren't we, Tim?
Baseball. I had no idea. That's my number one sport.
Yeah.
Growing up.
I mean, you and Tony love talking about baseball. Yeah. Did you go to – what junior high did you go to?
I went to Ahwahnee, and then when COVID hit, I went to Kepler.
Okay. Tim, when you first heard that Javance Coleman Jr. was going to play for Bullard High School, and again, you mentioned you coached his dad, what was going through your mind?
I was excited. I never saw him play in junior high. I didn't see him. I just got to Bullard. I was there for a few years, actually.
Yeah.
But I don't watch Ahwahnee play, so I don't know. I didn't know he was coming in, but knowing Dad, I was pretty excited. And when he came, I had zero gray hair. And he's leaving this year, and I have a lot of gray hair. What does that tell you? It tells you how much I love this kid. Just kidding. But, no, I was excited. And I didn't know he was going to be varsity as a freshman, which I don't like putting pressure on kids. We have two this year. But it's hard to play up and play against older guys and physicality. And the other thing is the time and the demand. We practice hard every day. They come out of a junior high season that's a couple weeks. And we go five all year round. Now it's a big jump for those kids.
Was that a huge jump?
I don't like having players play 4 years of high school. I like them sometimes to play, maybe play 1 year of JV or freshman and then make the jump just to give him a year. But he handled it very well.
What was the biggest adjustment, you think, like Coach mentioned, right? And AAU, junior high, not playing a whole heck of a lot. And then you're playing against 17, 18-year-olds as a 14-year-old. What was something that was like, man, this is really wearing me out? Was there something like that for you, or is it like, man, I really want to go against these guys?
The conditioning. Freshman year, the conditioning.
Good answer.
For sure. I used to hide in the locker room, and they used to make a coach come get me at the locker room and put me on the baseline some more. It was the running for sure. That's what it was for me. Playing up, I always played up, so it wasn't really nothing about that, but the conditioning is what killed me.
What do the coaches do to you, man? Just running up and down. To like, give me an example.
You scare everybody away.
Oh, yeah. It was one day where he put tens on the scoreboard. Up and back. Just keep running up and back 10 times until you make it. If you don't make it, you're going to just keep going. I think I didn't make the first three. Everybody's yelling at you, come on, Javance, make off. You got to make it or get off. And I wasn't getting off the line. So,
true story.
True.
Yeah. That's why you have the gray hair, Tim?
Because
stuff like
that. Battles.
Javance, so like as you go about your senior year, like, what are some goals that you really have for yourself? You mentioned you want to play at the next level. That last year you guys had that great run with those wins against Memorial. Mm-hmm. But what statement, I guess, do you want to make your senior year?
a goal of mine was to get MVP of league, for sure. That's a goal of mine, for sure. But also to win league, you know, we want another one. We're two times back-to-back.
Yeah.
We want another one. But individual goal is to go far in Valiant State to show that we can do that with the young guys we have. You know, even though we lost pieces, you know, we're not just some – now we're not that good no more because teams – people think that we're underdogs a lot, you know, and that's fine with us. We want to be underdogs. But just to show that we're still a top program no matter who we have or no matter who we lost.
People, it's weird when you think about it because we had a lot of talent. We had some guys leaving. So our record's actually better than it was last year at this time.
Same 14 schedule. And 8.
We're a little bit ahead, and we've lost two games – one-point games that we felt like we should have had, that we'd be further ahead of last year's group. Mm-hmm. So being this young with the solid group of seniors has been – I mean, actually, two more games I'd be really happy that we would let get away, but where we're at. And saying that, I think we're getting better. We're moving forward, and the seniors have done a great job of bringing the young guys along, and the young guys are accepting the challenge. And it's been really fun to coach these guys this year.
That's great. We only got another minute here with Tim Amundson and Javance Coleman Jr. Just I just want to focus on Javance again as we close the show up. Just kind of his impact, and I see Javance when he's announced, you know, at the beginning of the game, they announce the starters, the student section loves him. You know, when you got that and one, you're kind of fist pounding with the guys. You know, he's just a likable kid. You can tell he's loved by the student body. Just kind of speak about Javance and the journey that he's made to this point.
He is a gym rat, so I always want what's best for those guys that put the time in. He's definitely put the time in. He's got a lot of pressure from his family. His dad's a very good player. Sometimes that makes it tough on kids. He's got that personality where you really almost have to have him be a leader because his personality is so strong. All the kids are drawn to him. They all love him. And he's learned to accept that. It's a lot of, again, that's a lot of responsibility. And then to when you need him to score, he scores. I thought the best thing about the Sanger game is, you know, he had 29. Jeez, I look up and go, oh, my God, he had 29. But the way he started the game, he did miss a couple free throws, but he got Tyler a three, Juju a three, he got Kingston a layup. He got everybody else going, and he let the game came to him, and he shot the ball well. And so he got everybody else going, and then when we need him, and then he closed the game. So that's what really good players do.
That's what winners do.
Right. And it's weird. I think he's averaging about 22 or 23 points a game. 6 assists a game, 7-8 rebounds. He's doing a lot for us. And I always want more. So I just kind of put my head down and grind. And when they're done at our awards banquet, end of the year, however far, we got to give them a big hug and cry with them. But I don't really look at that. I always want more. But sometimes I look at the game and go, damn, he played. His stat line is really good. And I don't think like that watching the game, coaching the game. So I'm always trying to draw more out of all these guys. So it's, you know, tough on them.
And it shows. And you got, and Javance, I've been a fan of yours since your freshman year. Good to finally have you on the show. Good luck the rest of the way.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right. Blame John Pemberthy. We could have had 5 more minutes, but that guy just
– he talks too much.
Yeah, he talks a little bit too much. All right, good stuff as always. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Thanks to Tanvir for producing the show, for Kyle Biggs as well. Have a good rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.